You are about to embark on a journey into the darkest parts of humanity. Life, death, and the other side. Have no fear, you are not alone. Others are coming with you. Others, like you, who want to know what is beyond the threshold. So strap in, hold tight, and take the journey as we are about to go. Good evening and welcome to this episode of Beyond the Threshold. I am your host, Gary Blackheart, and this is episode 47, marking our comeback after a long and much needed rest. A lot of major changes have been going on behind the scenes here at BTT as we are making an attempt to at evolving the show into more of what you, the listeners, want to know about and what you want to hear. That being said, tonight's show will absolutely grab your attention in one way or another, as we are going to hit on a bunch of topics this evening in a sort of gear-shifting full-throttle style that if you're not careful to keep up, you'll miss out on something important. The first of these topics hits very close to home when we touch on pagan parroting here on BTT. So after our first song, we'll get right to it. Now, before we get to that first song, but the last episode that we aired, we were talking about like the bad boys, the paranormal, and so on and so forth. And at the end, I issued a challenge. I asked some of our readers to be able, some of our listeners to be able to chime in on some of the topics that we're going to be doing in the next couple of episodes. And one of our listeners, her name is Anne-Marie Sanderlin, as I promised. She decided she was going to chime in, and she was going to do exactly what I asked her to do, which is pretty awesome. The question of the day was, should we as pagans try to instill paganism in our children's lives? Now, her response is simple, and I quote, "I do not believe in forcing any belief, especially paganism. One must find their own path for it to be truly meaningful. My children were shown the different paths explored to them, and paganism was there, and they were welcome to learn it and ask questions." Well, thank you very much, Anne-Marie, for giving us that insight. So, when we come back from the break, we're going to jump right in on to that topic, and then we're going to be speeding along from one topic to the next, so I hope you guys keep up. In the tradition of this show, we're going to be giving you, you know, a broad spectrum, broad-based look on it, and yes, it's going to be very opinionated tonight because I'm going to be hitting on a lot of really, really touchy subjects, and we're probably going to wrap it up with something pretty positive, so we'll start with that. First song we're going to be listening to, you first heard, was Amy Winehouse with Back to Black. This song is going to be A Tribe Called Quest with Scenario here on BTT.
Like an end comp.
Means peace, see you later.
Later,
later, later, alligator. Pop blows the weasel and the earth's an inflator. So yo, the D, what the O, incorporated INC into a flow. Fuck, flip, flat, back, first, fist, foul, fight, 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 laugh, yo, how'd that sound?
Ooh. It's the leader quest mission and we got the goods here.
Yeah.
Never on the left, cause my right's my good ear.
Yeah.
I could give a damn about an ill subliminal. Stay away from crime so I ain't no criminal.
Criminal.
I love my young nation, movie sensation, no time for hibernation. Don't ever try to test the water, little kid. Yo, Mr. Busta Rhymes, tell them what I
heard you rust and rush and attack. Then they rebuked and you had to smack, causing rambunction throughout the
know I did it. So don't violate or you'll get violated. The hip hop sound is well agitated. We'll never waste no time on a played out ego. So here's Busta Rhymes with the scenario.
Watch as I combine all the juice from the mind. Heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind. Powerful impact, boom, from the cannon. Now bragging, try to reap a mind, just imagine. Both can't feel very necessary when taken into my library. Oh my god. As I come back, as I did the girl, I had to beg your pardon. When I travel through the turn, I roll with the squadron. Rawr, rawr, like a dungeon dragon. Take your little jaws, cause your pants are sagging. Try to step to this, I will put you in a turban. And have it smelling right, like some old stale urine. Chuckity Choco, the chocolate chicken. The rear cock diesel, my cheeks, they were kicking. Yo, bust it out before the monster, monster, not the rhyme, the rhythm is instinct. The rhymes are on time, dipping up the sound, just like a ratio. Observe the vibe and check out the scenario.
And that was A Tribe Called Quest with Scenario here on BTT. All right. First and foremost, let me get this off my chest about the topic of pagan parenting. I, for one, see nothing wrong at all with a family that wants to encourage their offspring to follow a pagan path. Now, while I do encourage my own child to follow their own beliefs and feel free to explore all avenues of religion before choosing what she wishes to follow, I also make it a point to let her know of the path I wish to follow. That being said, when we make it a point to instill pagan points of view into our children, we are automatically setting the stage for the paths they will choose to make in the long run. Now, is it wrong to want our children to believe what we believe? Hell no. As parents, we are the litmus test for practically every life lessons our children learn at the early stages of their lives. But at the same time, there comes a point where these wonderful offspring of ours, they're all going to begin making rational, well-thought-out decisions on their own about what they choose to believe and not believe. And here is where the problem lies. You see, when do we allow them to continue to follow what they choose to believe, or do we steer them towards paganism? Now, the answers I received were mixed, to say the least, and I kind of posed this to different people around there. However, there was a definite line drawn in the sand betwixt two different viewpoints. I'm going to give you both viewpoints here this evening. Now, the first viewpoint comes from someone who herself was raised pagan. Her parents they worked closely with her in her studies, explaining to her the way the world works in the eyes of a pagan, and opened her eyes to the magical community very early on. If you were to walk into her home, you would notice right off the bat that practically everything in the house she resides in smacks of paganistic beliefs. And when I asked her about her views on her children, the first thing coming out of her mouth was, they are pagan like their mother, and they are going to stay that way. Now, while she was very adamant in her choice, she also reminded me of the old school marm, continuously rapping her stick on the children's hands if they didn't do exactly what was told for them to do, giving the children little to no freedom. I asked her if she felt that it would somehow restrict their outlooks on the world, closing their minds to any other avenue out there, and her reply was startling. She told me that she had made the choice as a parent a long time ago that the children that she bore would be pagan without any doubt. She encouraged her kids to read as much as possible about pagan lore and beliefs, took them through all the sabbats, espots, initiations, and the sort, and repeatedly enforced their freedom to follow a pagan belief structure as they journeyed through the grades in school. When I asked if the children had any other aspirations to explore other belief structures out there, her staunch reply was no. They will be pagan and proud, and there is no reason to have them explore anything otherwise. And that is where I got my nanny goats up. I thanked her for her time, and I politely ended the conversation. Moments later, I called her on the bullshit. Because that's exactly what she was feeding me, a line of 100% primetime bullshit, for starters. And I'm going to be as blunt as I can, I want to be about this. While I think that it's fine to show our youth the path which we follow, I do not in any way, shape, or form condone preventing them from seeing other options out there. I mean, it's pretty well known that a child will do what a child will do, and often whether the parent wants it to happen or not. Children are impressionable, and while they may themselves choose to become pagan on their own,
after watching Mommy and Daddy perform ritual or read one of their parents' books. They also have the choice, nay, the right, as sentient beings, to choose what they wish to believe and not believe, even if it is the flying spaghetti monster. Now, the second viewpoint that stuck out was in direct opposition to the first. You see, I spoke to a free-spirited individual recently who has two children of his own, and while he follows the Druid aspect of paganism, his daughter has chosen to become Christian, and his son has chosen to follow the Asatru path. Now, mind you, the family gets along splendidly in almost every aspect, as he told me, except religion. And while he did speak of the differences that repeatedly arose during conversations, for the most part he was generally pleased that his children chose to follow what they felt was right things for them. To be honest, he tells me, I don't see the big damn deal. We're all walking different paths in this big universe, and all of them, each and every one of them, ultimately have the same destination, end quote. He goes on to say that regardless of what path his children choose, he fully supports them, and at times he and his wife attend their children's gatherings as a sign of showing support and tolerance. Quote, he says, it's simple, really. They are my kids. I could care less what they choose to believe. They could believe in nothing at all, and it doesn't make me love them any less, nor does it make me not want to be a part of their lives. End quote. Now this dude, I like. As wide open as he can be about his choices for his kids, the only issue I have is that there no doubt will be conflict in the home, unless there is a mutual understanding, as with all families of mixed religious beliefs. As we practice tolerance, we must also teach tolerance to those we bring into this world. And while I personally wish for my children to be pagan, I do understand that they are going to choose their own way, whether I like it or not. And quite frankly, I love it. Now, in my personal experiences, I mean, although I've taught my daughter the different ideas behind paganism, the gods and the goddesses and so on and so forth, she also has had some Christian influences from my mom. And I know that, you know, that her future sister-in-law, hint hint, has also had both influences of both Christianity, Catholicism, as well as paganism. So there's a little bit of a mixture there, and they will grow up ultimately being more well aware of their surroundings, their beliefs and so on and so forth, and they'll be able to make their choices on their own, and we will support, and I will support, and back them up 150% in anything that they choose to do. That's what a parent does. A parent doesn't beat religion into a child. A parent encourages a child to believe what they wish to believe and follow them and encourage them, and whatever they choose to do, you encourage them and love them and guide them. And it doesn't matter whether they are from the Nation of Islam and you are not. If you love them and they're your children, you're going to love them for whatever they do, regardless of what religion or religious belief or non-belief that they have. All right. We'll be right back, and when we do, we'll jump into the topic of the latest batch of cannon fodder from Fox News. Oh, dear. Stay tuned. This, just to give you a little bit of an entrance on this one, is PJ Harvey with Who the Fuck? I thought that was a pretty song, a fitting song for this segment. So, tune in. Okay, welcome back to BTT's Hodgepodge Barrage episode. Now, as I said before the break, we are going to jump right into the latest from the newswire. More specifically, the farce that is the Fox newswire. Now, I don't think I need to tell any of you about my utter disdain for the network that is Fox News. I'm the type of guy that, hey, if I want to see the news, I'll watch a fucking news channel. But at the same time, I don't want that news channel to attempt to steer me in one political direction or another. And mind you, that goes for MSNBC as well. But it's more dominant on the Fox News channel. Want an example? Well, does anybody remember an occurrence in the University of Missouri? You know, the university made this decision back in 2011 to include Wiccan and pagan holidays in their guide to religion, which also included the holidays of other faiths like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, etc. Now, to you and I, this is fucking awesome. It's a landmark decision, which much like the choice of the state of New Jersey made when it came to allowing our children to honor pagan holidays. And to you and me, this decision can only make sense. But you see, as with any attempt to accept the diversity of religions, someone has to raise a stink about it. Someone has to make a mockery. And well, this time, it was a trusty troop at Fox News. Would you like to hear the clip? Here we go.
Let's talk about this this morning. The PC police are at it again because there's Wiccans and pagans out there, right? Probably, I don't know if they make up a large percentage of the population.
I do. They don't.
They don't?
No.
They don't.
No, they don't.
And at the university,
there are more Zoroastrians here than there are Wiccans.
But apparently, maybe at the University of Missouri, they make up such an exorbitant part of their population at the University of Missouri that they need to have all of their holidays now recognized.
And they have a ton of holidays. This is the bad side of Wiccanism is it's obviously a form of witchcraft, but the upside is you get a ton of holidays. 20% of all school holidays, as described by the University of Missouri, are Wiccan holidays. 20% of all.
Well, and this is a statement from the University of Missouri. This is why they say they're doing this. The information about the Wiccan and pagan holidays has been in the guide since last fall. Keep in mind, this is not intended just for faculty. This is an informational guide for anyone across campus. And again, that's from the University of Missouri.
And it's interesting, we had Tammy Bruce on the show earlier this morning, and this, she says, probably wouldn't happen in any other country. Listen.
I think that this is, again, not about elevating anyone else. It's about pagans and Wiccans being used for a political agenda to downgrade what's important to a majority of Americans. I think that this is an anti-tradition action. I think pagans and Wiccans should be very angry about being used by the establishment. And I think that there should be a backlash of, look, the tradition in this country is what allows people to be pagans and Wiccans and to enjoy their lives freely. Good luck doing that in any other country.
Right, and somehow if you're a Christian in this country, too, that you can't say Merry Christmas to somebody or else you're trying to push your Christian faith on other people.
Right, but you get 20 holidays now if you're a Wiccan. I guess that's the one to go with, right? I mean, that's certainly the one. If you're going to pick one, go the one with the most holidays.
Except any religion whose most sacred day is Halloween, I just can't take seriously. I mean, call me a bigot. And I'm not, you know, not offering an editorial against Wiccanism.
Well, that would be more of the pagan side of it, right? Would be Halloween.
How many Wiccans can name every Wiccan holiday? Or 50% of Wiccan holidays?
I don't know a single Wiccan.
I will say this, because, you know, we're journalists, and I have covered this. I actually went because there was some backlash a number of years ago against Wiccans. And I remember I had to do a story, and I went and interviewed a number of Wiccans. And they say, look, we are the most peaceful individuals. Mm-hmm. We don't practice crazy things. We're just of the earth. We believe in...
I think that's right. Every Wiccan I've ever known is either a compulsive Dungeons and Dragons player or is a middle-aged, twice-divorced older woman living in a rural area who works as a midwife.
And likes a lot of incense.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Let us know if you've met any Wiccans out there. Let us know. Friends at FoxNews.com.
Well, smack my ass and call me Susan. Now, mind you, Tucker Carlson later apologized for the outrageous statements made by Fox News, but only after this little segment on the station ignited the rage of pagans and those who support paganism across the board. Rightfully so. Now, I don't want to go on a rant here, but it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. We strive for equality and acceptance in the mainstream, and every step forward is met with opposition, blind, ignorant opposition, such as the gang over there at that television network. And while at least one of them apologized, does that actually count for the process it took to actually air the piece on national television? Here, let me break this down for you. The story has to be first approved, then passed through a teleprompter. Time has to be allotted for the segment, and the story has the newscasters have to be aware of the topic so that they may offer their 2 cents worth. It's a long process that takes a bit of effort and time. So you mean to tell me that all that effort that was used to purposely bash a group of alternative religions for their simple constitutional right to exist, or for more importantly, to berate the average pagan and stereotype pagans or Wiccans, which, by the way, just to clarify, the correct terminology is Wicca, not Wiccanism, you fucking dolt, and assume that all Wiccans and pagans are the same is not only an act of belligerence, but smacking of religious intolerance. Does Fox News really want to be the network that claims to be fair and balanced and yet clearly teeters on the side of political fence, on the right side, on the Republican side? Or does Fox News really want to be the network that promotes one religion and yet damns another? I mean, what is that bullshit? We can celebrate, you say Merry Christmas and then you're going to get bashed for it, but yet pagans have 20 holidays? Are you fucking kidding me? It happened for years during the years after 9/11. It happened during the first four years of Obama's presidency, and now it's happening again. Listen, if you're going to have a news network and your main goal is to report the fucking news, then I get it. Go right ahead. However, the moment you throw in your personal opinion or the opinion of the majority of your network, then that opinion is in direct violation of someone, anyone's religious rights. You stop becoming a network that reports news, and you become a network that shows your true colors, a gathering of editorials verbally tossed in our faces 24 hours a day. In that case, stop calling yourselves Fox News and start calling yourself Fox Opinions. And do it live. And just a reminder, kittens, opinions are like assholes, and everyone, including myself, has one, but not everyone needs to show them. We'll be right back. This is Tom Petty with Don't Fade on Me.
Door, and I returned to find you drifting too far from the shore. I remember feeling this way. You can lose it without knowing. You wake up and you don't notice which way the wind is blowing. Did you know? something you could picture, but never could quite touch. Don't fade. No, don't fade on.
And we're back with BTT's Mega Mix topics of this evening. Now, next up on the topic block, the Catholics are at it again. In the past few weeks, we have seen Pope Palpatine. Oops, I'm sorry. I meant Pope Benedict. We can't call him Pope Palpatine anymore, can we? Damn it! Well, anyhow, Pope Benedict stepped down for what appeared to be some kind of medical reasons. And then after a few weeks of lollygagging around, the gang at the Vatican began the smoke signal messaging service that would announce the coming of a new pope. Now, the thing about this began, this new pope, this is pretty cool. He's a 2013 pope, and he's going out to the people and being amongst them. Shock and awe, right? He went from a bulletproof Jetson-style Pope-mobile to the dawning of a new age, where the Pope is actually doing something very papal. He is taking himself out to the very people that follow him, and he's socializing with them. Holy shit! And meanwhile, back at the Vat, the church is still battling over the ever-rising tide of allegations of child molestation by the hundreds across the globe, more and more people leaving the faith for alternative religions due to the strict adherence of Catholic law, and the aberration of gay marriage by the Catholic Church continuing to fester more and more animosity. After all this bullshit is going on to the church, wouldn't it be a really good thing to have the head honcho himself, El Poperino, come out to the masses and be amongst them, embracing them again? And yet, the Catholic Church is having a problem with this. They don't know what the fuck to do with their Pope, because the Pope is actually doing something papal. Look, whomever is pulling the strings of the Vatican, ease up on the new guy, alright? He's doing something that you've obviously been overlooking for a decade or so. He's doing his fucking job, Tyrone, as the Pope. Not only that, but remember Benedict? Yeah, he got speared by one of his followers. They fucking tackled him within the first couple of months of his being a Pope. This new guy? I don't think he can be taken down so easily, for one. And for another, I'm going to be pretty surprised if anybody's going to want to do that in the first place, considering the fact that dude's actually doing his job. He's being a pope. He's being part of the people. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, okay? Look. Why would anybody bother to fuck with this guy? All right, he's being friendly. He's conversing. He's actually performing real-time social interaction with parishioners instead of hiding behind 6-inch-thick bulletproof glass bubble cars that Elroy Jetson would use to hide his uranium-232 explosive space modulator. The new guy is doing the job of trying to fix what's broken in the church, gang, and if I am the only one that sees it, then that's a problem. Now, switching gears. So, in the world of the paranormal, practically anything goes when it comes to being able to make a connection with the other side these days. You know, with all the different reality shows that are out there, I'm surprised we haven't come up with a way to do a dating game version of, you know, a dating game version of communicating with the dead. But, digressing. Here's an example. There is this instance in Pennsylvania that I just caught wind of a couple of days ago. A gentleman that shall remain anonymous asked recently on a paranormal page on Facebook, and I quote, the question is, so do you think it's okay for paranormal investigators to reenact rapes and murders to get spirits to interact with them? One of our local Pennsylvania wannabe para-celebrities does. He sees no problem with having a spirit go through that pain again and again in order to provoke a response. I feel it is disgusting and sickening, but hey, I'm just someone who respects the dead and thinks victims of rape and murder who have passed are not our paranormal playthings, end quote. Rock on, dude. I totally agree with you. As a direct response to this answer to this question, this is a statement that he made. I prepared my following statement. Whoever this celebrity is that claims it's okay to not only challenge a spirit to come forth, but challenge it in a way that invokes a painful memory that may very well piss the spirit off, with all due respect, you've lost your fucking mind. Listen, I see not a single thing wrong with communicating with the dead on their level. I see nothing wrong with asking spirits questions about their life on this earth. If we are to understand what happened to someone when they died, we first need to know how they died and how they lived. And yes, I will admit firsthand, asking the deceased directly would be the very best approach. However, it is in no way, shape, or form the smartest idea. Just as you and I sit here in the living world with extremely painful memories that may have taken years to work through and eventually come to terms with, the same thing goes for the deceased. And while they struggle with the memory on a much deeper level due to lack of a shell and being left alone with only their memories, having to relive that painful moment, especially if it is something such as rape or murder, can cause some very negative results, including taking that spirit to a very dark place where it might actually want to stay and accumulate strength through its own pain. Folks, this is how shadows are born, okay? If we invoke a spirit and challenge it to revisit negative crap, then that's all it's going to go through. That's all it's going to do is revisit that negative crap on top of being pissed off that we had actually reminded it of the negative crap in the first place. Basically, the celebrity is playing with fire. And I hope that he or she has enough wherewithals to know that. Or at least have the common fucking decency to know that these buttons should not be pushed. Tell him or her to stop fucking poking the 500-pound grizzly bear. Okay, just chill out. And as far as Anonymous is concerned, dude, I'm right there with you. You should be offended. You should be bothered by this. A lot of us should be bothered by this. Those of us who work with spirits, who work with other side, should be bothered by this. Because if we've got guys and gals running around, invoking them, testing them, and pushing their buttons, and pissing them off, that's more work for us. It's more work for us in the long run, because then we got to start putting them down left and right. And there ain't enough rock salt in this house that I'm living in right now to be able to put down that many ghosts. Especially if he's in Pennsylvania and he's anywhere near Gettysburg. Yeah, he's on his own. Just leave him there. Let him do what he's doing. Fuck him. Anyhow, we'll be right back. And when we return, we'll try to get a little positive here. So stay tuned. This is This Veil of Tears with 717. And then following that, Erykah Badu with Tyrone.
I'ma test this out right quick on y'all. Now keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shirt. So y'all get nice about it. Alright. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all alright? Okay. See how y'all groove to this.
Welcome back. That was the incomparable Erykah Badu with Tyrone, followed up after with the song 717 from this band called This Veil of Tears, back in the day. Now, tonight we jumped around a lot, and I knew that. It's not what most of you would expect coming from this show. It's been a while since BTT aired, and a lot's been going on behind the scenes of the show, like I said in the beginning. A lot of amazing changes have been going on in my life and in the lives of my family. And I'm extremely happy to announce that on April 13th of this year, I will be getting married to a very beautiful, very magical, very amazing wonder of a woman by the name of April. And we have also very recently discovered that an addition to our family of four will be on its way by November of this year. And with that, an addition, a whole new set of magical moments lie in store for us. I also find it fitting that all of this happens to be falling around the time of Ostara, which is the pagan celebration of the spring equinox. Ostara is a time of renewal and rebirth. We want to take some time to celebrate this new life that surrounds us in nature. Go for walks in a park, lay in the grass, hike through a forest, and as we do, we want to try and observe all the new things beginning around us. Plants, flowers, insects, birds, things like that. We want to try to meditate upon the ever-moving wheel of the year and celebrate the changes of seasons. And I know that's already been happening in our home, and I surely hope that it is in yours. In this, the time of the planetary shift, new beginnings are happening everywhere we turn, and with them come the challenges that we all must face, good and bad, that very, very well may push us above and beyond our own personal thresholds. But no matter what comes our way, we face it head on with esteem in our step and love in our hearts, and perhaps some old school look on our side. But for now, I must bid you all adieu. Our next episode won't be so far away as this one was, and it's probably not going to be as mixed up or jammed up as this one was. Robert might stick to just one topic or two, and I might not be as fired up as I was about this one. But it's been building, so bear with me. And I'm sure you won't want to miss the next episode. I don't exactly know what we're going to be jumping into, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be awesome. So until then, namaste, merry parts, and good night. This is Poe with Haunted.